Social distancing is challenging for everyone, but as time goes on, we find ways to adapt. It's human nature. Imagine finding ways to adapt in this pandemic when you can't see or hear the world around you, where touching or holding are essential interactions for navigating the world around you. Joining me now is Nina Livingstone. She's a Boston-based writer who is blind and has some deafness. Nina, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
So I'll ask you the standard question we ask everybody. How was your day today?
It was great. I want to say that when I first heard about the social distancing, the guidelines, it was a bit of a shock because I depend on volunteers and see friends. And usually I take their elbows whenever I travel. And some use canes, some use C&I dogs, and I like my preference is usually taking volunteers, their elbows. So that's been a big cutoff since 6 weeks ago, I want to say. I think the onset of the guidelines was the 14th, and it's quite an adjustment.
And I know as well from, seeing you on social media and things you've written, you are a very socially active person, right?
I'm a staunch extrovert. So this kind of thing is pretty difficult to grapple with. It's an adjustment in that everything is done remotely, which thank goodness for a Braille display that I'm able to read Braille and follow my computer and sometimes my phone by Braille as another option. But it is isolating to some extent, and isolation is no stranger to me since I have lost my sight and hearing completely in the year 2000 due to Usher syndrome, combination of deafness and blindness, which eventually causes total blindness and deafness. But I also developed Meniere's, which is another inner ear disorder that causes nausea, vertigo, and deafness. I think what I learned in the year and 4 months being home in bed 24/7 because of the Meniere's and deafness and blindness was that not to expect anything in the future, but to really create something in the moment, to keep my mind as busy as possible. That is being creative. And I decided that I should teach myself Braille, which, of course, was the appropriate time to do it. It took me a long period of time, but going from print to Braille was important. But once I crossed that line, I was able to read more books. And I promised myself that if I got through that period, that I would be outside and be around friends and volunteers as much as possible. The way I'm seeing isolation right now is temporary, and I can't worry about, as we most do, how long is this going to last? That's definitely the question. But it's how do we make the best of today? What can I do to be creative? And I'm still writing, still working on other project ideas. I did write about social distancing for Jewish Boston, for example. And I love what I do. And using a little humor, a little of videos, you know, anything to keep creative and productive. And mind you, when I often see my volunteers and friends, as I have, I would always shake their hands simply because I wanted to know where they were located, in front of me, on the side, or the left. So I put out my hand, and one of my neighbors said, I've seen you. You've got so many volunteers and friends. You're always shaking hands. And she said, are you like in politics? And I said, no, I'm like blind. So it's just a habit of mine that I like to shake hands. And it is kind of funny because that's exactly how I feel sometimes, like a politician. So much for, you know, the gloves and the mask, which I do.
Well, Nina, that period that you were talking about, when you experienced that isolation, when you learned Braille and had that kind of epiphany, how long did that last?
You know, that was about, I want to say, 14 months without sight and hearing completely. And before that happened to me, I had limited sight and hearing, but I never thought that I would lose my sight completely until like maybe in my 70s. And then my hearing, I thought I would keep it indefinitely. But it was the meniere's that kind of thwarted matters down the road there. And that's why I lost both my hearing that year. So I think being in bed and being, you know, sick because of the meniere's, the dizziness, which some folks might know because of the meniere's and what it does, robbed the rest of my remaining hearing. So in that 14 months, I didn't see anyone. I didn't have so many friends, and I didn't have volunteers. I didn't have the connections that I have found since I got my cochlear implant. Ever since my cochlear implant, hearing in 1 year, I've been just absolutely grateful and optimistic, and I still remain optimistic. I mean, I still can't see, but I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. I have a lot of good friends and volunteers, and I panicked a couple of weeks ago thinking, oh, my goodness, how am I going to be able to see my friends and volunteer? It breaks my heart. I talk to them on the phone. But when I go out there, I don't know 6 feet or 60 feet or 6 inches distance. So it's not that easy for me to just walk with a cane aimlessly down the road because I can't do that. But one of my neighbors she sent me a text. She said, I wish we could walk with you, but, you know, we're following the guidelines, and we all are. I said, absolutely. And so she sent me a text Friday, the fourth week of our stay-at-home guidelines, and the text said, check out your chair in the front porch, on the front porch. I went outside, looked at the chair. There's a bottle of champagne. She sent me a text and said, we all made it through the fourth week. That was a neighbor. So it was just a wonderful gesture and a sense of community and neighbors caring about one another. And that's important.
Yeah, that's lovely. I'm speaking with writer Nina Livingstone about her experiences in this pandemic. Nina is blind and has some deafness. Nina, you're able to do a lot of your creative work. Obviously, you're writing. You can do interviews remotely, things like that. But you, yes. You do really love getting out. Are you able to get out?
I love it. I love people. I love being out. Yeah.
And are you able to get out in a safe way right now?
Yes. I mean, I have a porch. I get outside, and yes, I do, but not by car. And not going into any stores, abiding by the guidelines. My volunteer, and thanks to Mass Association for the Blind, I do have two great volunteers there who have been able to bring food, but groceries. We don't do any talking. You know, we're abiding by the 6 feet distancing. So, you know, it's we talk, but it's just weird because we're not. I'm so tactile when I see people. I like to, as I said before, shake their hands or hug them if I know them. And that absence is what it is for now.
And I know you've written about this. What are you hearing from other friends of yours who are also blind or have other disabilities?
They're feeling equally challenged. One of my friends in New York read the piece in George Boston, and she said the same thing that, oh, she said, you know, with social distancing, I was trying to cross the street, and this gentleman came over to me and wanted to help me cross the street, and I was really, she was legally blind, but she had a cane, and she could see straight ahead, she said, but she couldn't really figure out which street to cross visually, and the gentleman offered to help her, and she accepted his help and took his elbow, but she said, he was so nice. But I was also really worried because I was wearing gloves and a mask, and I wasn't sure, like, you just don't know, because we're all kind of freaking out about social distancing, and I think everyone's having a challenge, and everyone has a disability, more or less. It's what we make of ourselves and what we're able to do and how we're able to use our time creatively and helping people, and all of that is important.
There has been this really fascinating pattern. We've been doing the show for about 6 weeks now, and we've done a series of interviews now with people, individuals, and people who represent individuals that we would think are having a harder time than any of us with social distancing and so on. We've talked to people with, you know, pre-existing conditions, with various disabilities, people in dealing with economic hardship. And the pattern has been we've talked through the difficulties they're having, which are substantial and real. But then we hear this resiliency that I am hearing from you. And every single time we've heard this point of that actually having gone what they've gone through, they're in a way handling this, taking it in stride, which sort of seems the way that you're talking after what you went through with your incredible experience of, I can't imagine anything more terrifying than losing your sight and hearing and going through that period where you were isolated. But it seems like you are kind of better equipped than any of us to deal with this.
I don't know if that's, I think it just, I think I learned so much from the time of being without sight and hearing and going through, I mean, I wasn't social. I wasn't out. I wasn't outside. I just wasn't. And I was afraid of the unknown of what could happen. And in the best Braille book I read, The Diary of Anne Frank, and it was in that book that I realized that what I was going through was not as seriously severe as what she had gone through, her family, and the people who had suffered through that time period that she had described. So that made me, it was like a wake-up call to me. And I remember finishing the book, and I'll never forget it. It's just, when she talked about the chink of light that she could see through a window, was the same thing I was trying to focus on with the light that was fading in my eyes at the time, just saying to myself that the difference here, and I've said this before, is that I can go outside this world when I am able to get a cochlear implant, that I can enjoy the sunlight and be out there. And she talked about her sunlight, Anne Frank, and the window, and not being able to get beyond the curtain, not being able to open the curtain, not being able to ever get out there. And that, to me, was an important message that I had to stop crying and move on and get the implant, and I had a lot to live for.
I have that line right in front of me because I have your piece in front of me from The Diary of Anne Frank. She writes, "As long as this exists, this sunshine and this cloudless sky, and as long as I can enjoy it, how can I be sad?"
True. Yeah.
Nina, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. I want to get you back on again so we can talk and have some fun, because people need to realize you are hilarious. You're a really funny writer, and I want to get you on to talk about some more stuff. But it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's Nina Livingstone. She's a writer living in Boston. And that's it for tonight's show. This is In It Together from WGBH. I'm Arun Roth. Good night from my basement in Lexington. We'll talk tomorrow.